Somebody say every praise. Every praise belongs to my God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory be to God. Blessed be the name of Jesus, who has given us the grace to see this day. We give you all the glory, Lord, and all the praise in Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
Thank you, praise team. God bless you. Amen. The Lord God deserves our praise in every situation too, not just when it is going great. Father, we are thankful this morning. We join the host of heaven to say thank you. Thank you, Lord. You deserve our praise. You deserve our thanksgiving for all your goodness and your mercies to us. You brought us into a new day, Lord, the day you've made, and we shall be rejoicing and be glad in it in Jesus' mighty name. Therefore, Lord, we pray as you bring your forth to your word this morning, that all who may hear today, or those who may be hearing from another part of the world in the days to come, let it bring blessings to their hearts. Even in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. 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 Blessed be the name of the Lord. Last message we preached, it was on conflict and resolution. Part one, conflict and resolution, part one. And we have said that we're going to continue with that message in part two. And this time we will skip to some core issues to discuss practical things we can do as Christians to avoid conflict and to bring resolutions. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We started that message by saying that conflict is absence of peace. Might be limited to some extent, but in all, conflict will remove peace. And God wants us to have peace. Let us look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. Conflict is when Satan has induced mankind, anybody, maneuvered you for whatever reason to have misunderstanding with others. But peace are made even in the midst of conflict by bringing resolution through peacemakers. Even as our scripture here says, blessed are the who? Peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. So peacemaker in that family, in that friendship or whatever, will walk towards peace. Conflict has been in existence since the world began. In Isaiah 14:2, we don't have to put up the scriptures now. We saw Lucifer, son of the morning, being thrown away from heaven. Because even in God's heaven of heavens, there was conflict. He was booted out when he wants to make himself God. And the high God have to kick him out. The resolution was kicking him out. We saw in Revelation chapter 12 verse 7 that Michael and the angels fought against that ancient dragon, that Lucifer himself, because of what conflict? There will always be conflict. In your marriage, with your best friends, members of the body of Christ, in the church, brethren against brethren, and so on and so forth. Conflict is not merely the issue, it's the way you handle the conflict. The way the individual handles it. We spoke of about three among many categories of conflict. We spoke about global conflict. This is in part one, and I will encourage you to go and look at this message in part one. And this is part two, conflict and resolution part two. We spoke of church conflict. We spoke of interpersonal conflict, what we're going to discuss today in a little more detail. The global conflict results in war, and war takes mass lives, human lives. I say that Satan is one of the greatest ways he harvests souls that are not prepared to meet God. Young children are drafted into war, given gun, dressed up, parade and so on, and then they march to go kill and be killed. They go to kill and be killed. First World War, took about 10 million lives. World War II took about 60 million lives. So we are talking now, Ukraine and Russia are going after one another. Under 1 year, it's hundreds of thousands of lives that is being lost. Because of what? Conflict. In the church, we saw conflict. Where the apostles were approached and say, the Grecian women are not receiving their rights of food. Hebrew women are getting more. Widows. And they, through the Holy Spirit, came up with an answer and say, give us 7 men filled of the Spirit of God and wisdom of God. Among them is Stephen, so that they can look into division of food while we preach the gospel and pray. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Conflict arose in terms of circumcision. Some Jews say, well, we have to accept you guys, but you have to do circumcision. That's conflict. The intention of the enemy was to destroy the church, the foundation that was being built by the apostles. But through wisdom of God, they were able to bring this down because they gave themselves over to God's direction, everybody. We are not going to go into detail in any of those things. You can go to part one and look at it. But we are going to look at interpersonal conflict, which tears the bonds of fellowship among brethren, among family, among friends, among husbands and wife, children and parents, father to daughter, son to mother, and so on and so forth. Interpersonal, relating to me and to you. Conflict. What do we do in this situation? Many lives have been turned upside down because of conflict. And I dare say that to some extent, conflict, if handled well, can bring such peace and such understanding and such grace that it will give you grace to minister even to others. But many of us handle conflicts poorly. It's not taught. We don't look into the Word of God for guidance. We do it our own way. And so conflict becomes a major problem in the household of faith, especially among people who are married to one another. We spoke about the people that brings conflict, the people that are so perverse that all their life they just bring conflict wherever they are. We spoke about people who shoot from the hips. They don't watch what they say. They don't minimize. They don't look at what comes out of their mouth. Their mouth is like a nuclear bomb. They throw it out and it just goes to kill. We spoke about people who are in pain serious pain because they've experienced life afflictions, maybe from others, and all they can give out is misery. Like they say, misery seeks company. I've seen marriage where one person probably dedicate their life to making the other one misery and was not ashamed to admit it. I've seen people who live together, and because one is a Christian, or two of them are Christian, and the other one is in the ministry or whatever, the other one, just because of what have happened donkey years ago, want to just be make the other one to fail, to be destroyed. It's conflict. And to such I say, be careful. Do not be a stumbling block. Say woe betide you if you deliberately, intentionally make yourself a stumbling block to my sister or to my brother or to this person or that. Don't do that. It's not right. So they put conflict day in and day out. Life is a misery. As even family I heard of, I know this family, it's like a ritual for them. They have to fight. I said to the neighbor, how do you know when they say there's a particular music they would put on? When they put that music, that means war. Either the man start it or the woman. I say, really, yeah. That's a spiritual learn. There's no joy in conflict. God doesn't want conflict in your life. But it has to be there at times for a reason. When it is there, how do you handle it is the question. We are going to discuss this in two ways. How to avoid and contain conflict. And then how to bring resolution when there is conflict already. Avoiding is seeing things about to happen and you find a way to stop it from happening. Containing is that it's already happening, it has the beginning stage. That cancer is in stage one, very much treatable at that point. And you do something in your family, in your friend, in your brother's life, or take an initiative to stop it from becoming a wildfire, which is what Satan said it to be. Why do conflicts remain? Why do Satan bring conflict? The objective is that so that your prayers are hindered. In the global conflict, most of the time it takes human life and so on. In the church, you want to stop the world. In your life, it's so that your prayers are hindered. So that me and my wife cannot pray effectively because there's conflict. Our amen, our prayer is hollow, is empty, is devoid of power and faith. We can't get much done because those two are like one. Some of the things I'm going to say this morning are my own personal experience. Many of them initiated or made mistakes by myself. Some of them are something I've noticed in people's life. Some of them are what I have seen or heard when I'm counseling people. If I should ask us now, anybody here, do you have conflict in your house? Most of us may say yes or no. Well, if you don't, blessed be the name of the Lord. But if you do, listen carefully this morning. And hopefully God will help you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen? To avoid or contain conflict, one of the things you have to, that based on, you know, people have taken, asked so many people over the years, what do you think is number one reason why your friendship, your marriage, your union, your whatever broke? They say communication, communication. Amen? They say there's at times non-communication, and at times there is none at all. Communication is the ability to communicate. Tell him or her how you are feeling or what is going on. And they say that some people do not communicate because they expect their partner or their spouse or the other person to know what is hurting them. In other words, you want me to be a mind reader, to have the gift of knowing what is your problem. And then people communicate, and the way they communicate makes things even worse. So that the whole thing becomes a problem. So in communicating, it might be a problem. In non-communication, it might be a problem. Because we do not really think through before we start speaking. We do not really think through before we act. We just act for sake of acting at times, and it creates more problems. That's one, communication. Two, is people not listening. And many of us men are guilty of that. Including me. We do not pay attention to the concern of our spouse when it is still at the early stage. James chapter 1 verse 19. James chapter 1 verse 19. He says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to what? Hear. Quick to hear. And slow to speak. Many of us do the opposite. The opposite is we are fast to speak and do not hear swiftly. When something is bothering somebody to the point that they say, honey, this is an issue. Out of the abundance of the heart, what happens? The mouth speaks. It has been there. They finally bring it up. Only for you to wave it and say, let me finish the football I'm watching, and then from there you go to sleep. Or do not bother about it now. Let's make, and you never brought it up again. And so you do not listen to your partner point of view. You did not avoid the conflict that is coming. You did not contain it because you does not care. And that is how the other person is going to interpret it. These 5 points that I'm bringing out in avoiding or containing conflict. Number three, choose to overlook. These are based on experiences. These are based on counseling. These are based on evidences. Some people choose to overlook or not choose to overlook certain things. They have to just say it. There are certain things that the scripture, God, designed that you may overlook in some occasion. But some of us are so impatient in finding fault with one another that we open our mouth and speak too fast. Or act too fast. Let's give an example. The man has been for years or months or weeks, every Wednesday morning, take the trash can outside for the garbage collectors to pick it up. It's an example. And this Wednesday, he woke up, he has something he has to do at the work, he forgot and rushed away to work and forgot to take out the trash. The wife noticed it and wasn't too happy about it because it's going to take a week again for another garbage collector to come by. So the first thing he met the man at the gate, at the door when he come back is, honey, you forgot to take out the trash can. Do you know that it will take another 7 days for another trash collectors to come by? If you have thought about it or given it all, you say that he has been taking this trash can for years or months or weeks. This one time that he forgot to do it, not only did you confront him with it, the way you confronted him is aggressive in manner. You are initiating conflict. He might keep quiet and walk away, but he may retaliate also. And what of you? What of the clothes you washed the other day? Do you know you bleached one of my clothes? You did push this and that and that. And so you are monitoring everything I'm doing now. And so the thing just goes up a notch. I do your clothes. Come on, take out the tractor and I raise it and this and that. The enemy is now giving fuel to something that wasn't even supposed to be a problem. You could have said, forget it. Or in an instance, this woman has been cooking from time to time to give you food whenever you come back from work, assuming you get to be served like that. I'm just using as an example. But today, she was cooking and suddenly find too much salt, made a mistake, and put more salt in the soup or whatever she was making. You're already home about to eat. She cannot throw it away. She tasted it, said, well, it's not too bad. I hope he wouldn't notice. I hope he didn't notice. Maybe put a little water to dilute it and stuff and say it's now okay. So you came and he put the food right for you on the table and you tasted it. What is this? Woman, are you trying to kill me? What kind of thing is this? Too much salt in this food. That's your reaction. Couldn't it be that you can say, she has been cooking, never this mistake, this trouble, and so maybe it's just a mistake, and eat it. And she's watching. Of course she's watching. Or you could have just avoided it and then at the point say, is the food good? And these are one of the times that God may allow you to, manipulate the truth a little and lie a little. Yes, honey, it tastes great. And she said, thank God she didn't notice. You noticed. Her tongue was burning. You strain yourself and swallow it and keep swallowing. But you just avoided conflict. At times we don't overlook certain things we can just put away. It doesn't kill you at times to just put it away, overlook it. When your wife or your husband says something, be quick to respond. These are measures to avoid conflict and measures to do what? Contain it. Do not put it away forever and say, okay, I'll do it when I have time. When there is a concern, be willing to deal with it. And deal with it in love. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The fifth one in avoiding or containing, there might be others. Or more than I stated, but these are the five things I say from my own view, opinion. If you do, you might be able to avoid conflict or to contain it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Learn to give others benefit of doubt. Learn to say that when they are saying something, they may have a point here. Learn to give room for healing by giving others benefit of doubt. Some of us are not good at this at all. Whatever they are presenting, even before they finish, is already there are flaws in what you are saying. But if you take time to think through it, if you take time to mull over it, then maybe to pray over it and say, Lord, enlighten me on this situation. You might find out that there might be a point in this concern. And so when you find out there's an issue here, you can then now take positive steps to look for solution. There's always solution when we look for it. God will make a way. But when you don't look for solution, it may just be there in front of you and you will not even notice it. Because your mind is already made up, there's no point in what you are saying. Brethren, conflict has been from beginning. Until we get to heaven, where the whole situation is different, there will be conflict. Conflict can be positive if you know how to resolve it, contain it, or even avoid it. You learn from the experience. Our action has created so many problems in conflict that shouldn't be there because we are negligent of our actions. Resolution of conflict. Also, five things you have to do when you are trying to resolve conflict. Now, the trouble is already there. It's cooking, has gone to stage two or three, or Mr. Size to stage four. But there's resolution. And we're going to name these five and discuss more on it. The first thing you have to do when you know there's conflict is not to avoid it, not to sweep it under the rug in this case. I mentioned in the beginning there are certain things you can overlook. But when it is already there and brewing, don't sweep it under the rug. God intends for it to be resolved. For the purpose to restore. To purpose to restore the union, the faith you have in one another. So, the problem is that most of us know there's conflict, but nobody is willing to make the first move. And the reason we have problem in making the first move is because of what? Pride. 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 Let's read Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 to 24. Matthew 5, 23 to 24. He said, if you bring your gift to the altar, you are about to give an offering, and then you remember that thy brother had ought against you, have something against you, not you against your brother. Go. Leave there thy gift before the altar. That is how important it is to God for peace to reign. Say, leave your gift. Go thy way. First, be reconciled to thy brother and then come and offer thy gift. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When there is conflict, don't sweep it under the rug. In the last ministration, I spoke how it becomes a bitter root. It's not really resolved. It becomes a bitter root that can become destructive if it is not resolved. The Bible also supported this argument and said that if you are about to give, leave your gift, go and be reconciled to your wife, to your husband, to whoever, and then come back and give your gift. But I say one thing stands on the way. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 10. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 10. Proverbs 13, verse 10. Only pride cometh contention. Only by pride cometh what? Contention. Conflict. But the way, with the well advised, there is wisdom. So the first thing you have to do is to be the bigger person in that house. Be the bigger person in that friendship. Be the bigger person in whatever it is and say, hey, something is going on here. You present it. But before you present it, think through it. Think about your approach, and we are coming to those approaches. Think about how you are going to present, because I say many people in presenting make worse case. Makes what is already bitter more bitter. I advise you to be reasonable in that approach. Yes, you have overcome this issue of pride. You are now the first person that blinked. When people are looking at one another and then they say, who is going to blink first? And you blink first. It doesn't make you a lesser person. Rather, what it makes you is a peacemaker. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You are the one that the Lord God will honor for reaching out to your brother or your sister or whatever and say, this is the issue. But also think of how you are going to present it. Because if you present it in such a way, without reason, it creates more problems. So I say be reasonable in two. Seek first to understand the other person. Not necessarily you requiring the other person to understand you first. Where are they coming from? What is their point of view? Why this concern? Is there something I'm not seeing? Is there something that I am not seeing in this issue? Now, if you're already in this frame of mind, your approach will be good, will be better than if you are approaching it out of aggression, out of anger, out of bitterness. So when you are making the first move, do not make it in a way that will aggravate the situation. Come with understanding. Be reasonable in approaching the other person, but do approach the other person. Because conflict does not resolve itself. Conflict will be there unless if it is resolved. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen? So seek to understand the other person and not necessarily for them to understand you. As part of what the Bible is saying about seek not your own advantage, but rather the welfare of others. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Think of the other person. Three is ask yourself, what is my part in this conflict, in this situation? What is my part? I want to say to all of us that asking yourself, where was I wrong, does not make you less, but make you again a better and greater person. Where was I wrong? I notice that many of us come to conflict with excess baggage. Let's look at James chapter 4, verse 1. James chapter 4, verse 1. From whence come wars and fighting among you? Come they not hence, even of your own lust, what is within you, at war against your own very members? So at times we have conflicts, and we bring into that conflict our insecurity, we bring into that conflict our bitterness, we bring into that conflict our resentment, our inflexibility, vengeful spirit. Which at times create in us to the revenge spirit will come in and we start to hoard affection and we start to hoard resources. I'm going to explain this a little more. And at times, when we do this, the Bible says we are hypocrites. Matthew chapter 7, verse 3. It says, Matthew chapter 7, verse 3. And why beholdest thou the mote, the small tiny speck of dust that is in thy brother's eye, but does not consider not the beam, the big log, that is in thy own eyes? Now I say people bring insecurity into conflicts. And I've seen this time and time and time and over. I have seen there are both men and women in every situation. Women who are so insecure, or men who are so insecure in this relationship, in this marriage, in this family, that they have to fear what the man does all the time. Or what the woman does all the time. They are so insecure that they always think my husband is cheating with every woman he smiles to or looked at or talked to. He eats and eats, and it is like a deep, deep, deep agonizing pain that endures. I've seen men who cannot allow their wife practically to go anywhere because of his going. I ask, is there any reason for this? Has she given any reason for this? No. Well, not really. But you are afraid. Insecurity is in this person so much that, like in case of an Ethiopian lady, the husband have to follow her to interview. I thought was just driving the first time. Then at times somebody will follow the wife to work. Not kidding you. Drop her and pick her off too. Not because he wants to do that, but because he wants to monitor and find out where you are going every second of the day. I say, is there a reason for this? I mean, has something happened that... No. It is insecurity. I've seen women who are so jealous and bitter of this thing that they don't trust their men. And this brings conflict in the home. There's really no reason for you to think that because maybe it happened one time or two, whatever, or does never happen, that you have to dwell in this. People come into conflicts with baggage, excess baggage, that derails everything. Some come into conflict with bitterness. That's why I say, examine yourself and see where you fit in. If there's anything you are bringing into this conflict, then it is hard for that conflict to be resolved unless you take steps to first remove the speck from your own eyes so that you can see clearly to remove the log or the beam in your husband's or your wife's eyes. They bring bitterness into this conflict. Well, he did it like 20 years ago. This one, I'm telling you, is between two great people that I know. On the marriage night of 20-something years ago, there's an issue. I was surprised. Have you guys discussed this before? No. And this has created this conflict that continues for this year still now. Yes. Why didn't you tell him this wrong he did? Well, he should know. He did it. And wasn't it so? Say, my God, how immature we can be mature than be immature. Because these are mature Christians. So it created a root of bitterness that I've endured for years. That could even be pulled up at the first day and pulled out, root and all. But you allow it to be there because of what? Immaturity. Then bitterness will create resentment. Resentment that will be there and simmering like a soup, pot of soup in a fire, only getting higher and higher, warmer and warmer, until it bursts out one day. So you have to ask yourself, what am I bringing into this, or have brought into this conflict? I see some people with inflexibility. They are not flexible. They are so rigid that it will have to take God to slap them. Sometimes even when they slap them, they don't even know. They don't recognize God is slapping you. You boot them also, they will not recognize it. Sometimes they just find out when they are about to be killed. And God, in his mercy, they realize it. They are inflexible. They are so rigid. They're almost superhuman in their rigidity. Well, he did it before, something he did so many times, and so before he did it, and then there's a conflict, and you are thinking that that conflict is going to be resolved when you are not ready to bend. Some people are bendable. And that's not the nature or the spirit of love or Christ. We have to be able to bend when it is necessary. We have to be able to reconfigure our minds to do our best to purge it of that evil that is residing there, so that the Spirit of God can come and work his wonders in that situation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. I've seen people bring vengeful spirits into conflict. It's outright demonic spirit that I'm seeing. Because the vengeance is not of the Lord. They are doing it to get their own way, push the burden to make the other person suffer. But when you are doing that, you are also suffering. Especially when it is in the same family of husband and wife. So you are not winning anything. You are not doing anything good. It's not, there's no benefit in what this vengeful spirit is. And this is the one that I noticed in this vengeful spirit. People start to hoard resources. Start to hoard affection. I'll give you an example. Sorry, I have to be explicit. A man that is providing in the family, maybe the wife is going to school and there's a conflict, he cut it off. And start to provide resources in such a meager way that the woman will feel the pain. So finally, after donkey years, the woman graduated as a nurse. Now her money is bigger than the man's own now, with her RN job. And she pulled the plug also on her own end. Who started it? He said, the man. Yes. The vengeful spirit will mount to make you to hurt others, to really make them feel the pain of living. In fact, the more they suffer, the happier you are, according to your own opinion. But that is not the spirit of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I've seen women who take this vengeful spirit to the extreme. No sexual relationship for 2.5 years or 3 years. And do you guys sleep on the same bed? Yes. Sorry, children are here, but these are facts of life. You can close your ear if you don't want to hear. So this happens because you want to venge on your husband, and then maybe the husband cannot contain their desire and goes out to have an affair and then bring another baggage into the issue. Tell me, how did that help? Why don't you bury these excess luggages and figure a way to resolve it before it goes to a stage that is practically incurable? Now, God wants us to learn from this. That's why I say we're going to break it down to simple levels we can understand. When you carry excess baggage to a conflict, you will not get resolution. If you get resolution, it will not be enduring. It will not be permanent. It will disrupt again. You have to be able to ask yourself, what is my part? It takes two to tango, brethren. You see this tango dance they do? It takes two. So when there's conflict, don't ever think that one person is responsible 100%. I can look at every conflict that has been brought to me and tell the person, either by the grace of God in my life, revelation, or pure knowledge, that This thing, you have a part in it. I was speaking to two couple, right in my office there, say, how can you say that I have part in this? I say, you do. Going back to where you have the part. There are certain things that is sealed, and when that thing is corrupted inside, there has to be a tiny opening, a pinprick opening that has opened that seal for foreign things to come in. So you have to realize, brethren, that you have to have a part. I don't care how holy you are. I don't care whatever. There's a part. Either you didn't listen, either you didn't act fast, either you've overacted, one thing or the other. There has to be a part you have. If you own that up, then there is hope for resolution. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Then, four, be tactful in speaking. Tactful. Speaking the truth in love. It's another area that I've seen many of us err. Hell, I spoke it like it is. I say it like it is. Only like the way you are speaking it, you are throwing a nuclear bomb into the issue. You are pouring fuel into the fire because you are not speaking the truth in love. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. Ephesians 4, verse 15. But brethren, speaking the truth in what love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. I see this speaking as it is mostly among people who consider themselves very spiritual, who consider themselves high and mighty or up there in the Lord. They have gotten to close association with God to the extent that whatever comes out of their mouth is an oracle. They are now an oracle of God. So they don't measure their word. And so they speak and their word only kills and does not bring life. So no matter how you think, elevated or not, measure your word. Think through it before you speak. See, ask yourself, am I speaking in love? Does what I'm saying, though it is true, does what I'm saying, though it is real, a fact, how am I conveying it to the other person? Do I know their circumstances? Do I know their situation? Did I even care to find out what is their problem? Why they think doing this is okay? Why they think acting like this is okay? What's their perspective, experiences in life? I say to all the other time, if you can make effort to find out the pain of others at times, you might have more compassion because there might be a lot in them that you don't know. You might be things that will just make your heart to melt, if only you know. But no, we jump up and say it as it is. We call it as it is. Only what we are saying is not life. We are speaking destruction and death through our mouth. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18. Proverbs 12, 18. Therefore, there is that speaketh like the piercing of a sword. But the tongue of the wise is health. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So when you speak, let your word not be sword. Let it be life. Do not throw atomic bomb with your mouth and expect to resolve conflict. And lastly, brethren, in 5, Colossians chapter 3, 13. The same thing I said the other day in Colossians 3, 13. You cannot achieve solution or resolve conflict without this. I remember telling us about the four stages that Bible have given us to resolve conflict. If Emmanuel did anything to you, that day I commended one sister who thought something, called me, and I was reasonable enough to listen and explain. He said, if somebody offend you, go talk to your brother first. That's what the Bible says. Amen? Talk to who? Talk to the person. Talk to the person first. If the person will not hear you, do what? Take somebody, a witness, maybe one or two, and go meet the person. If they will still not hear you, then bring it to the church. Let the church be the judge. And he said, if they still will not hear even you, the witness, the church, then you can consider the person to be a Republican, which is a tax collector, a very hated person in the Jewish religion. But I want to say this morning that you can also be like Christ. You don't have to consider that person a Republican. You can still stop at the third level and hand it over to the Lord without taking out your right of considering your wife or your husband or your friend or your brother a Republican, a hated human being whom you can take to court, take to judge, do whatever, because now it is your right. You don't have to go there. Jesus Christ, whom we try to emulate, what did he do? The very person that killed him, he ate with him on the same table, Judas. Did you see him run away and say, I'm not going to eat with you. You just get out, you miserable. Even at that point, was still showing how we should behave. His best friend denied him 3 good times. He didn't fly off the handle to cuss him up. He was still counseling Peter, even though he denied him. That's the example we should. So when we say that that is the standard, that standard, you don't have to abide by it, especially on that part 4, that you can consider the thing you don't like or have tried everything to win as your enemy. So in this Colossians 3:13, it says, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. And seek to be of the same mind. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Forbearing means to put up with. Put up with. My God, put up with. In this world, when I have a right, put up with your crap, put up with your nonsense, put up with your whatever, me put up with it. Why would you think you are? I will deal with you as it comes. That is it. We don't put up with it. So we fly off the handle. Forgiving, letting it go. That is what Colossians is telling us. Forbearing one another. Forbearing means put up with one another and let it go, whatever thing the other person have done. That is one key factor that we have to use to overcome conflict. It has to boil down to this. Paul, speaking to 2 women in Philippians chapter 4, verse 2, as we round up, Eurodias and Cynthia. 2 of them were after one another truth in the church. The Bible didn't tell us what was happening. Whether it's a doctrinal issue, it couldn't be. I have a feeling maybe they are deciding the color of the curtain for the new church they build. Maybe something like that. And Cynthia or Eurodias say the color has to be this color, and the other one say no, it has to be the other color. You know, you don't have the sense of design like me or the ability to figure things out. Why are you messing with this, Cynthia? No. And the other one say, well, after all, my husband is the pastor, and so I have a right to tell what the decoration in this church should be. And the other one say, well, my husband is the one that financed this church. If not for my husband's money, do you think we will even build any of this? Therefore, I have the right to call the shot on the decoration of this church. This is among the brethren. Paul has write them a letter and say, I beseech you, Eurodias, and beseech you, Cynthia, I can't pronounce their name, that they be of the same mind. See, I call it as it is. I said it as it is. Eh? I don't know where that name comes from. But the fact here is that they be of what? The same mind in the Lord. Let's stand on our feet, everybody. As we pray. Let us not indulge in mutual destruction, self-destruction, brethren. Let us not keep one another miserable. Let's follow the scriptures. And let us be aware that it is woe to those that causes others to stumble. And the Bible has admonished us not to seek things of our own. And let us know that the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace in those that make peace. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So there have to be conflicts. As long as you breathe, there will be conflict in place of work, in your home, at times even with kids, at times even among brethren, pastors, ministers, bosom friends. At the end of the day, it boils down to the same thing. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace in those that make peace. And we are admonished to forbear, put up with, forgive, let go. And we don't have to go all the way to the fourth part of that conditions of making conflict, dissolving conflict. If you call somebody and say, okay, you reach out to them, take somebody and go back again with the church, you can still forgive them on the fourth part. You don't have to take them to be a Republican, a hated person. You can still love them and walk in wisdom. So, Father, I am asking in the name of Jesus, are there people in this church that is going through conflict in their life or in their home? Is there anybody here who is having issue and does not know how to resolve it? I pray that this admonition will give them a clue on how to go about it. And Father, that they will be able to take it and run with it and go home and call this person or ask this person to sit down there as a concern. And that, Father, you will bring peace to them in the mighty name of Jesus. That we will not start to gossip about it to everybody is not the right way. Text it to everybody is not the right way. But to call the person and, Father, you will give an opening for healing in their life. We come against the spirit of conflict in this place in the mighty name of Jesus. Our Lord, the enemy will not sow seed of discord among us brethren. Father, grant us wisdom to avoid even conflict. Grant us wisdom to contain it if it's already happening. I pray for every marriage that is here in this house, that your peace will take over the marriages in the name of Jesus. That your peace will be in our family in the mighty name of Jesus. That the work of the enemy will not abide in Jesus' mighty name. That Lord Jehovah God, you grant us, Father, that nature of Christ in all things that we do. That the glory and the honor and the praise shall be to you and you alone, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise him if you can come up, please.